Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 69 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
The ones that are close to the police department or in the City Hall District are the ones that we were going to start with.
Moorhead's police department is preparing to start a new neighborhood watch.
A documentary featuring the history of Moorhead State University will have a public screening next week.
MSU is higher on this year's list of top universities in the South.
A Boone County official says that possible changes in the teacher retirement system are causing uncertainty in finding new teachers.
Police investigate a homicide in Whitley County.
In sports, the Cincinnati Bengals play in Thursday night football tonight at home.
Bud Luke brings us the stocks.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 58 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Moorhead Police Department is preparing to start its version of a neighborhood watch program. MPD officials will start holding public meetings for residents of various neighborhoods at different locations around the city in the coming weeks. Captain Kyle Callahan says the purpose of the program is to strengthen the bond between his department and members of the community it serves.
One thing that we want to do is we want to people and the citizens and the residents of Moorhead to know that we are approachable. And that we are working on issues that they have. We're a smaller department. We have a lot of things that's going on, but we do value the residents' feedback on what they see as an issue.
The first public meeting regarding the Moorhead Police Department's new neighborhood watch program is set for 6:30 p.m. Monday, September 25th at City Hall on Bridge Street. It will be for residents of the central part of town. The times and locations of further gatherings will be announced at a later date.
According to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, updating Moorhead's zoning ordinances should also help the city solve another dilemma. Longtime residents in many of the city's downtown neighborhoods are complaining about multiple renters who now occupy what were once single-family homes and are now taking up all of the curbside parking on their narrow streets or parking in yards. Trent says it's a complicated issue that will take some time to sort out.
You never want to hinder someone's use and enjoyment of their land that they've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in. But at the same time, you don't want one person or two people or three people to affect the property value of other folks because they don't, quote unquote, play by the rules that we traditionally do. It's not done anything illegal. It's just that sometimes it's almost a quasi-nuisance, and that affects your property rights.
Trent believes barring parking on both sides of those streets could solve the problem. He says City Council should have Moorhead zoning ordinances completely updated by next spring or summer.
A documentary featuring the history of Moorhead State University has its first public on-campus screening next week. Far Above the Rolling Campus, A History of Moorhead State University, will be shown in the Camden Carroll Library at 6 p.m. on Thursday, September 21st. MSU instructor and documentarian Steve Middleton headed the production. He says after 2 years of scouring the library for archival footage, the film was finished before most people knew it existed.
It wasn't necessarily a top secret project, but one of the things Dr. Andrews said to me, it's probably a good idea on your part to keep this close to the vest. Because when people find out you're making a film like this, everyone will want to be a part of it or try to alter it in somehow.
Middleton says the film highlights MSU's beginning, its first African-American student and professor, and other unique stories throughout its history.
Moorhead State University is up two spots in this year's edition of America's Best Colleges by U.S. News and World Report. This is the 14th consecutive year the university has appeared on the list, this year at number 22. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan says the university has a task force already in place to work towards improving that number.
And they're coming back with recommendations here in just 2 or 3 months on things that we can do as a university to really push our rankings into our benefit. If we can tick up, a slot or two every year in constant improvement, that's the direction we want to move.
The rankings place emphasis on acceptance rates, graduation rates, admissions selectivity, and small class sizes.
A fall career fair will be held Tuesday, October 3rd on the campus of Moorhead State University. The fair will take place from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Laughlin Health Building. Employer Relations spokesperson Megan Boone encourages students to attend the event.
I think in today's technological age, sometimes it's hard to stand out when you're just applying for positions online. We find that recruiters really like to attend the career fair, to meet people in person, to shake their hand and get a chance to talk to them. It allows the recruiters to get a better understanding of the candidate.
In addition to full-time candidates, many organizations are seeking students for internships, co-ops, and part-time positions. The event is open to all students.
A Boone County school official says that the potential changes to the teacher retirement system have caused uncertainty in finding new teachers. Superintendent Randy Poe tells Spectrum News he is concerned that finding teachers in his area could become a challenge.
In this particular area, our teachers do have choices. They can drive within 10 minutes, they can be paid more, and they have a better retirement system. So it is going to be more difficult for the future to attract the quality.
The thing that concerns Poe the most is how close his district is to Ohio and Indiana, giving teachers a short drive to other states.
A Whitley County mother is mourning the loss of three of her family members today. According to WKYT, Kathy Faulkner located her daughter Imogene Bittner inside her Maple Creek community home on Wednesday and thought it was a suicide at first.
I came home and went in the house, and my house was destroyed. And then I went back to the house, and that's where I found her on the floor. But I hope to find out who done this. My grandson had his whole life ahead of him. He never done nothing to no one. He was a good kid.
Faulkner says her son-in-law, Christopher Bittner, and grandson Robert Kennedy III were found outside. Whitley County Sheriff Colin Harrell says there are people of interest in the homicide investigation. No arrests have been made.
A man has been charged with murder and robbery in the death of a 70-year-old woman found inside a Kentucky church. News outlets report Somerset police announced Tuesday night that 41-year-old Dwight Mitchell Bell was arrested in Dandridge, Tennessee, on charges stemming from the theft of Ruthie Carolyn New's car, which was found in Indianapolis. The murder and first-degree robbery charges were added later. New was found dead in a storage area at Denham Street Baptist Church in Somerset on August 24th. Pulaski County Coroner Clyde Strunk said an autopsy ruled New's death a homicide, and she had likely been dead for 24 to 36 hours. Police had been looking for Bell for questioning since they found New's vehicle.
Sign thieves stealing stop signs are costing Madison County big bucks. According to WKYT, 56 signs have been stolen this year alone. Madison County Judge Executive Reagan Taylor says the cost to replace them is just under $4,000.
We had a couple different county roads that are known for party spots out in the county down by the creek, and we noticed some of our signs getting stolen. We're going to go over budget if we don't do something about this.
The budget for road identification signs is set at $12,000. Taylor says this year he expects sign maintenance will cost around $15,000. Police say they are stepping up efforts to mitigate the problem. We'll be right back with local news after this quick break.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Returning to your local news report, a Morgan County woman is one of 21 people who've been appointed to a Kentucky board by Governor Matt Bevin. WMKY's Tilden Johnson has more.
Margretta Gail Hilton of Cannell City is joining the State Advisory Council for Exceptional Children. Hilton is an exceptional child consultant with the State Education Department. She will represent state agency members involved with financing or delivering services for children with disabilities. The organization consists of 21 citizen members. It provides policy guidance about special education in Kentucky, as well as advising and assisting the State Education Department in providing services for children with disabilities. All 21 new members of the board will serve terms that expire on June 30th, 2021. For WMKY News, I'm Tolan Johnson.
Four U.S. senators and the nonprofit Bipartisan Policy Center have proposed 19 measures to boost the economy in Appalachia, including expanded broadband and telemedicine and tapping the region's vast natural gas reserves for chemical and advanced manufacturing facilities. The initiative released Wednesday is intended to help reverse struggles with poverty and isolation in the 13-state region where more than 25 million people live. The senators involved are Democrats Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Mark Warner of Virginia, along with Republicans David Perdue of Georgia and Tom Tillis of North Carolina. The senators say Appalachia has been disproportionately hurt by economic shifts and declines in coal and traditional manufacturing.
The East Kentucky Power Cooperative has received a grant of over $262,000. It's from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development Program. EKPC spokesman Nick Comer says the money will be used to help construct a 60-acre solar farm in Clark County that will feature more than 32,000 solar panels.
And those panels will be available to electric cooperative members to be licensed. And what that means is if you're a member of one of the 16 participating cooperatives, you can pay a fee up front, and for the next 25 years, you'll get credit on your monthly power bill for the energy that's produced by the panel or panels that you license.
Construction on EKPC's $18 million solar farm will begin in November. It will be located just outside of Winchester, close to Interstate 64.
Kentucky officials are discussing ways to make it easier for state entities to purchase local foods. The Interim Joint Committee on Agriculture held a meeting on the matter yesterday. Lillian Brislin is executive director of the University of Kentucky's Food Connection. She says the school has adjusted its definition of local in hopes of bolstering the economy.
That's reflected in the revised KPIs, which now, for the new fiscal year and moving forward, exclude food and beverages that are only bottled, repackaged, or distributed in Kentucky, which means if it's coming off a box from one truck and going onto a different truck, that's a valuable service. It's distribution, but not really getting at what we mean by local food. So we're looking at products that are significant value added is occurring within the state, contributing to jobs, economic growth, entrepreneurship.
Brislin spoke on CN2's Pure Politics.
Residents of Bracken County are concerned about a resurfacing job. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the Kentucky Transportation Department, District 6, is working on a resurfacing project near mile markers 5 through 10. The process will require emulsion to be sprayed on the surface first, then coarse stone is spread evenly across the emulsion. The aggregate is then properly embedded into the roadway. A sufficient amount of time is allowed for open traffic to further seal the material. This part of the process takes 30 days, during which drivers are helping compress the aggregates into place. Bracken County Judge Executive Earl Bush has received several complaints from residents over the construction. They include motorists who are worried about their paint and windshields being damaged by loose gravel. Construction is expected to be complete by September 30th. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 57 degrees. On Friday, sunshine and clouds mixed, high of 77. Friday night, mostly clear skies and lows near 59. On Saturday, generally sunny despite a few afternoon clouds and highs near 80 degrees. Saturday night, some clouds early will give way to generally clear conditions overnight and lows near 59. In Ashland right now, it's 70 degrees, Flemingsburg 70, Inez 70, Winchester 70, Lexington 70, and here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 68 degrees.
The time is 4:44. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg. Thanks for tuning in on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Eagle Diversity and Education Center will begin hosting weekly tutoring sessions for a variety of majors at Moorhead State University. WMKY's Brian Courtney has the story.
Minority Retention Coordinator Chris Blakely explains that the program, titled FREE, is designed to help students with lower-level classes in order to ease their advancement into their higher education courses.
So we want to kind of focus on some classes that traditionally students struggled in, and kind of offer that support. And working with the Tutoring Learning Center, we can kind of link some of our strong tutors with individuals in group settings so they feel more comfortable coming with a group versus, you know, scheduling a one-on-one appointment with a tutor.
Free aims to take a relaxed approach for the benefit of students.
The environment is kind of a walk-in, drop-in. So you don't need an appointment. You can just show up at any time between 5 and 7, Monday to Wednesday, and there will be a tutor available for you depending on which days you show up. So Monday we have biology, chemistry, and psychology. So if you have one of those courses, we have them in different rooms. So you can kind of show up, and there will be a tutor available for you. You can drop in if you have a couple questions and just kind of need assistance on. Or if you want to stay in the entire 2 hours, you can do that.
Free is also hoping to increase the retention rate for MSU.
You know, one of the main focuses of the university is making sure that, you know, our students are staying on track to graduate in a timely fashion. So when students struggle in a particular class, they may end up dropping the class or having to repeat the class in another semester if they fail the class. So this helps us to retain that semester so they can continue to take new credits towards graduation.
Blakely encourages struggling students to attend a session.
Try it out. It may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. So at least come out and experience it. And if it doesn't work, we'll get you signed up for a one-on-one tutoring session or support you any way we can.
Free has already began meeting and will continue to meet Monday through Wednesday for the remainder of the semester. Sessions are held on Allie Young's second floor in rooms 209, 211, and 221. For WMKY, I'm Brian Courtney.
It's 4:46. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Stay tuned. Coming up at 5, it's All Things Considered from National Public Radio with the latest in international and national news. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with the WMKY Sports. Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Bengals face Houston in tonight's NFL matchup. Both teams are 0-1. The Texans haven't announced yet if Tom Savage or rookie Deshaun Watson will be their quarterback, but either way, Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis doesn't expect to see too many new wrinkles out of Houston bench bosses Bill O'Brien's attack.
We're going to see Bill's offense and what the Houston Texans do on offense, and I would expect Deshaun to be the quarterback. It will surprise me if he's not. And, you know, I think he's a young, talented player. And they're going to run their offense, which starts with the running game. And we've got to do a very good job against that.
Watson replaced Savage midway through the Texans' 29-7 loss last Sunday to Jacksonville. After falling 58-17 last weekend at Liberty, the Morehead State football Eagles are gearing up to face another fully scholarshiped FCS team. 1-1 MSU visits Austin Peay on Saturday. Senior tight end Jake Sutherland says the Eagles need to set the tone in the contest by jumping on the Governors early.
I think... going back to the Liberty game, how we tested the water, I think we need to know that we can play with this team, and I think we got to get going right from the beginning of the game.
Austin Peay has lost 29 straight games, the longest current streak in FCS football. The Kentucky football team is preparing to open up SEC play with a road trip to South Carolina on Saturday. With the game kicking off at 7:30 and South Carolina having a wideout, the Cats will be facing a rowdy road crowd, and head coach Mark Stoops says picking up a win will be a challenge for his team.
We're going to have to play much better football in a lot of areas. They've played very well with two quality wins. They've been very sound. They've played very clean football. They're well coached. It'll be a real challenge, but it is quite an atmosphere, and our players just got to concentrate on us and embrace what we do. That's what makes it fun, to go into hostile environments like this, and we got to be up for the challenge.
Kentucky could be without two key players on Saturday. Running back Benny Snell is dealing with bruised ribs, while linebacker Jordan Jones is battling a collarbone injury. The Round County football team will be at home tomorrow at 7:30 in an effort to snap its three-game losing streak. The 1-3 Vikings will face Bourbon County. Round coach Kelly Ford expects the Colonels to attack his defense through the air.
They got a really good quarterback and got about three guys that they throw to, and then the running back's really good as well. We're going to face the same type of team that we were playing against Fleming, and they're finesse. They're not going to smash mouth to you, get up and try to run it down your throat. we just got to get ready to defend the pass again.
Bourbon is 2-1 this season, but is coming off of a 37-7 loss to Madison Southern. Also in prep football tomorrow, Ashland Blazer will host Irington, Ohio. Even though it's not a district game, Coach Tony Love says it will be an intense night for Blazer as it faces an old rival.
You have to be able to kind of to handle the emotional part that goes along with it. With that, we also have our JFL night, which we'll have all the little kids out there watching these guys. They're going to be future Tomcats, and we're going to recognize the 1957 state championship team as well. So, you know, there's a lot of things to distract you if you let it, and we have to maintain our focus.
In some other games tomorrow, Russell visits Boyd, Bath travels to Estill, Lewis is at Fairview, West Carter heads to Nicholas, Fleming faces Montgomery, and Morgan County plays at Shelby Valley. The Reds wrapped up their series with the Cardinals today in St. Louis. After picking up a 6-0 win last night, the Reds got back to their losing ways, falling 5-2. Amir Garrett picked up the loss for Cincy. The now 62-83 Reds are back at home at Great American Ballpark tomorrow to start a series with the Pirates. In other games from around baseball this afternoon, the White Sox are currently pounding Detroit 17-5 in the ninth inning. Boston leads Oakland 6-2 in the ninth as well, and Arizona is up on Colorado 6-0 in the third inning. The Morehead State soccer team opens up OVC play when they host Murray State this evening at 7. The Eagles welcome Eastern Kentucky into Jane Stadium on Saturday as well, and at just 1-5 on the year, head coach Warren Lipka says picking up 2 wins to start conference play would be big for his program.
If we can match up back-to-back games with the effort and get a result out of it, that's huge. Going into, we got two, possibly the best two teams in our conference coming in, and we got them at home. So it's all falling in place right now. We just gotta keep that level of intensity and level of attitude that we're going to go out and outwork people.
Murray State comes into Jane Stadium at 5-0 on the year. Both Round County soccer teams are in action tonight. The Round girls will travel to Scott County after they were blown out at home on Tuesday by Lawrence County 7-3, saying it will take some time for his team to adjust to playing to the speed of playing on the new turf field at Round County High School. Head coach Alan Evans says getting that playing experience will be beneficial for his club.
Most of your teams and your higher level programs are either going to have an artificial turf or they're going to have real tight Bermuda. So that way when we play on these other fields, we're going to be used to it. And so Montgomery County has a turf. And then usually the state tournament's playing on a turf as well. And so playing on a turf is our advantage.
As for the Round boys, they will host Regional Foe Russell at 6:30. Finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team is getting ready to hit the road. The 6-4 Eagles of Coach Jamie Gordon are preparing for 3 matches starting on Friday at the Red Flash Classic at St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
Got some areas we need to work on. Our serve reception game, our ball control has got to be more consistent. I think it's shown some signs of being very solid, but at the same time, we saw this weekend where there are some cracks in it, and we've got to make sure that mentally we kind of take that mindset of fighting through some of the ugliness when that happens.
The MSU volleyball team will battle Norfolk State on Friday before meeting Bucknell and St. Francis on Saturday. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Soccer will open their OVC schedule at Jane Stadium this week by hosting Murray State at 7 p.m. tonight and Eastern Kentucky at 1 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. equities closed mostly or actually mixed today, even though the Dow was up at a new record high. This after strong inflation data raised the possibility of tighter monetary policy from the Federal Reserve. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 45.3 at 22,203.48, which, as mentioned, is a record closing high for the Dow. The S&P 500 was down 2.75, finishing at 2495.62. And the NASDAQ Composite was also down, in this case 31.1, to finish at 6429.08. The Consumer Price Index did rise 1.9% in August on a year-over-year basis. It was up 0.4% on a month-over-month. An economist poll by Reuters expected an increase of 1.8% year-over-year. Lifting consumer prices higher were gasoline and rent costs. Investors closely watched the data looking for clues about the future of the Fed's monetary policy. Market expectations for a Fed rate hike in December increased to 53% from 41.3% after this data was released, according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. Your worst performing stock group today was consumer discretionary, and utilities actually outperformed, even though we do have the threat of higher interest rates here in the near future. The Fed, of course, does meet this month, and, of course, there's much anticipation about that meeting in terms of how the Fed intends to work off its balance sheet, which is, of course, is over $4 trillion. In the commodities market, oil is up 42 cents, finishing at $49.72 a barrel, while gold finished with a gain of $3.70 an ounce at $1,331.70. In Europe, the Stock 600 index was up about 0.8%, although markets were mixed in Europe. In Asia, the Nikkei index was down 0.3%, and Shanghai was down 0.3%, as Asian markets were weighed down by weak economic data out of China. Among S&P 500 stocks, your best performers were Chesapeake Energy and Michael Kors, while your worst performers were Tiffany and Henry Schein. In the Dow Industrials, the best performers were United Technologies and Pfizer, and the worst performers were Travelers and Disney. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 9 cents at $63.56, Marathon Petroleum down 87 cents at $52.34, AEP up 32 cents at $72.91, CSX up a penny at $52.08, AK Steel down 13 cents at $5.61, and Anthem was down $2.81 to finish at $186.91. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
Taking a look at community events happening this weekend, there will be an informational meeting on becoming a Kentucky Master Gardener at noon on Friday, September 15th. The meeting will be held at the Round County Extension Office. Master Gardeners receive comprehensive training on a variety of gardening topics. Additional information is available by calling the Round County Extension Office at 784-5457.
First Christian Church at 227 East Main Street in Moorhead will hold a yard sale from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Saturday. Proceeds will benefit several outreach programs supported by the church, including MSU Build-A-Bed, Youth Backpacks, and the Gateway Homeless Shelter.
The 29th Annual Living Archaeology Weekend will be held from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, September 16th at Red River Gorge. Skilled artisans will demonstrate ceramic pottery, cane baskets, stone axes, spear throwing, native cooking, and more. Concessions will be available for purchase.
And finally, Storytime with Melissa will begin at 5 p.m. on Monday, September 18th at Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead. The program will feature stories for children written by author Anna Dudney. Admission is free, and the event is open to the community. Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, partly cloudy skies, low around 57. On Friday, sunshine and clouds mixed, highs around 77. On Friday night, mostly clear skies, lows around 59 degrees. Saturday, generally sunny, despite a few afternoon clouds, and highs near 80. Saturday night, some clouds early will give way to clear conditions overnight, lows around 59. And on Sunday, sunshine and some clouds, with highs near 82 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 70 degrees, Flemingsburg 70, Inez 70, Winchester 70, Lexington 70, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 68 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Ellen Barnett, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Sam Burton, Sean Delaney, Brian Courtney, Tilden Johnson, and Chaz Jenkins with our feature segment, Brian Courtney. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News. All things considered, from NPR is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.